And it's episode 46, Joshi 2010s. It is JD here on the Red Leaf Retrocast Patreon, Joshi 2010s edition. If you're listening 2 weeks later on the All Japan Women Destiny feed, thank you for joining for yet another episode. Consider subscribing. And today we are doing Oz Academy, Wizard of Oz 2012. Took place on January 15th, 2012. Yet, not our first romp through Oz Academy. It has been quite a bit since we last covered this company. And it's really gone through, I wouldn't say a change, necessarily. But I would certainly say this company is falling out of the limelight in the scene right now. Wave is making waves, so to say. JWP is doing okay. They've kicked off their tag league. They had the big controversy to end the year. Stardom has started up. Oz Academy, they used to be kind of the de facto number one when Neo closed in 2011, at least when it started. But ever since that Kaoru injury and her leaving, the promotion's really been in a lot of flux. They did, last we left off, was probably that August Plum Mariko Memorial Show that they do every year. And that was that's always their biggest one. And after that, they kind of go into this lull period. And it's very frequent. It's often pointed, at least early on in these episodes, that Oz Academy doesn't really run itself like a true wrestling promotion. They run it more like a produce show that runs once or twice a month. And the matchmaking, there's not much to it. However, we have to continue to point to Oz Academy having a lot of the stars from the 90s. Early 2000s, the late 90s. And this is the company with the most possible exposure on a larger scale. And it's been a frequent kind of point in frustration that this is the company that really should have broken through at a lot higher pace. And on this particular show, this is very frequent when you look at Oz Academy cards, is you go, oh, that looks like a pretty good card. Those are some interesting wrestlers that I'm into and I want to see. And then you watch the show and it continually disappoints, and it's incredibly dissatisfying when you're through with it. And this is a great show that represents it, because I'm going to name these matches as we go and you go, damn, I like all those names involved. This should be awesome. And then it's not. There's also another topic I'm going to talk about, and that's staleness in promotions and just running idle throughout it. And Oz Academy is another one that's a great example of such an issue. What makes these other promotions that we cover on Joshi 2010s and going through it, what makes them interesting is the fresh new talent. Oz Academy really lacks that, and we're definitely going to dive a little bit further into it. Maybe not extensively, because you do get the point of it right away just by hearing it, but there's going to be some little details in there that I think will open your eyes further. So let's recap who's the champions at this point in time as we enter 2012 to the show. The current tag champions are Carlos Amano and Manami Toyota. A tandem that we've come to be pretty familiar with going through Oz Academy in this era. Obviously, both wrestlers are aged at this point in time. They won those titles back in June 2011 from Hiroyo Matsumoto and Tomoko Nakagawa. Very common team of the last couple years. They had one defense at the Plum Show that we did cover against Ran Yuyu and Toshimatsu, which was... it was good for the second half, but memory serves, there was a lot of comedy. There was some trolleys involved and pushing. A little wacky. Not the greatest. And that's it. So from August to this show in January, no defenses. Very absent on the title front. But then we go over to the openweight title, their main singles title. Mayumi Ozaki, naturally, won this thing for the second time. She's in her second reign, and she won it from Dynamite Kansai at that same show. She has yet to defend this title, and she will not be defending it on this show. She will not defend this title until late March. And this is a topic I've spoken about very frequently on AJW Destiny, various other Joshi promotions I like to compare to, such as Sendai and Marvelous, promotions run by people from the era, that they still treat these titles like a boxing title. And boxing titles are frequently rarely defended. They go many, many months on end without being defended. And it's more often than not, you either get two scenarios. They will lose it on the first defense, or they will go on to have a crazy long reign. Kind of rare that you get an in-between there, but you get the idea. Oz Academy is one of those promotions. Mayumi Ozaki, well, she's from the 80s. And she learned, I'll use that kind of in loose quotes, how to, I can't say book, but I could definitely say matchmake accordingly, still in that very era and never evolving, which is, of course, a critique that you can actually read excerpts from various Rossi Ogawa interviews about trying to keep things fresh. You get excerpts of interviews from Sanchio Takagi. He's the guy that kind of started up TJPW. But you don't. What's interesting is you never hear those words come from people like Meiko Satomura, Mayumi Ozaki, Chigusa Nagayo. Never. And there was a recent interview, as I've been doing my Rossi Ogawa research for the Hall of Fame, is Rossi Ogawa used the terminology of senpai structure, and his goal is to break it. And that verbiage really hits home the different philosophies in the Joshi scene between how he looks at it and how the rest of the scene tends to look at it. And when he said that, and how, I mean, you can listen to various other wrestling predominant journalists out there, and they will say that the business is built on keeping things fresh and creating new stars. So as I say that, let's get on with this show. January 15th, Wizard of Oz 2012. The old stomping grounds of Oz Academy, they never seem to leave. It is Shinjuku Face, attendance of 455. It's pretty standard for them to run this venue and get about this many people. If you want to go into a little deeper analysis of attendance, maybe you can look at, hey, if you're running a big-time tag title match in the main event, which they are here, maybe book a slightly bigger venue. Maybe you want to get that 600 to 800, but I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure due to the TV deal and sponsors that Ozaki has for Oz Academy with, particularly Gaura TV, I believe they get Shinjuku Face dirt cheap, and that's why they rent this venue consistently. It's also network broadcast. These shows are network broadcasted quite frequently for Oz Academy. So that's why if you look on various websites, or like me when you were in kind of the mid-2010s there, just get into Joshi Wrestling, Oz Academy is one of the easier ones to find because people would rip it from the television stations it would air on, and then they could throw it on various websites. And actually, this was broadcasted on February 23rd, so it took over a month to be broadcasted, for what that's worth. Singles match opens the show, very standard stuff. It's now Komatsu defeating Mika Ida. Good energy, low-level Sure, but they tried really hard, got the crowd into it at least. There was a big frog splash near fall from Naokomatsu, and she wins off a good hard-looking German suplex. It was a nice little 7-minute, 52-second opener. There's not much to say here. This is a very common Joshi card-building thing. It's a very Puro thing as well to have their young wrestlers kind of open it up and start off the show. Where Naokomatsu comes in is she's very frequently been only in this position, and I think we're going on to year two with this woman at this point in time. Maybe she's still not ready because the people above her on the card are definitely way better, but maybe give some people a chance to go up and down accordingly every now and again. But again, this is a produce show type promotion that only runs once or twice a month. Tag match follows. Ayumi Kurihara and Tomoko Nakagawa. So a little shimmer action team here, if you go back to that episode I covered a little while ago. It was Nakagawa and I think it was Daisy Hayes or somebody, but it was Kurihara and Ayako Hamada. That was the team in Shimmer. So I correct myself on that one, but they're taking on the Ozaki-gun team of Mayumi Ozaki and Hiroyo Matsumoto. So, all right. At the beginning of this DVD here, there is a long recap of what has happened from August through December, or at least the end of August through December. And people like Chikayo Nagashima and Hiroyo Matsumoto have joined Ozaki-gun while Takako Inoue has kind of been kicked out of it, more or less, and she's feuding with them. That's the storyline they're going with the promotion, because Oz Academy has one story. People come in and out of Ozaki-gun, you feud with them, maybe you beat them in the end, usually it's Aja Kong, and we move on. But this was your Oz Tag special involving Ozaki. You got long heat segments of Ozaki, plus her chain, and plus her buddy on the outside named Police. Especially this match with the start of him brawling, yes, him, Police, brawling with Kurihara around Shinjuku Face, beating her up. Kurihara got nothing in. He took her around and slammed her heads on tables. And all while Tomoko Nakagawa was in the ring taking the heat from Ozaki, from Ozaki, while Hiroyo just kind of watched on the apron. So psychology just top notch here. Hey. And so that's weird. So Hiroyo is a member of the team, and yet she's still kind of playing. It's very nonsensical. Hiroyo and Ozaki take most of the match, mix in some chain choking and light hits on the head, and there's a short comeback, always put down super quick with more interference and weaponry. Naturally, Police must get into the ring and be a third guy. He's hitting chair shots on the wrestlers. He might as well be in the match. And of course, the finish was even an Oz Academy and Joshi veteran trope of you see this in Oz Academy a lot, but you also see it when grumpy Joshi veterans don't want to take a direct fall. And what will happen is they'll be in a tag match. Their own tag partner will hit them by accident, and then the opponent will hit a quick move, usually a roll-up, to get the flash fluke win. And that's exactly what happened here, as Kurihara elbows Tomoka, Ozaki bounces off the ropes, flash magic, and pins her real quick. So there are some good move sequences in here, but mostly an unconventional mess. And if this was the only match that went 14 minutes and 22 seconds with this Police interference, and it's an Ozaki thing, I would be like, okay, hey, it's one person doing this. That's the heat. I'm okay with this. It's a very territory, old school type booking, which it has its uses and drawbacks and difference on the card. But let's move on. Takako Inoue versus Yumi Oka of Ozaki-gun, Yumi Oka, the quote-unquote main event star of Wave is, of course, a nice little backup mid-carder in Oz Academy. And I remember JPQ and I discussed on a past episode of JWP when there was a lot of... it was a Wave card with a lot of Oz Academy wrestlers coming over, and the Oz Academy wrestlers punked them out. That's kind of what we see here, where even though Oka is very much your main event talent in Wave, when she comes over to, and it's still to this day, basically, when she comes over to Oz Academy, she is just a mid-carder. Which, in a vacuum, would be fine, but based on what I said at the start of this podcast, there needs to be fresh young talent. Oka's kind of in the prime of her career. And she's got a good look. She's got a decent ring game. There's a lot to her. I've been through that before with her. But this was much shorter than I thought it would be. First of all, the cage match time is incorrect on this. but this match banged pretty hard. It went 10 minutes, 9 seconds. Not to be confused with the 20 minutes listed on cage match. So it did do very well, mostly, with the exception of more police interference. Because this is Oz Academy, and we can't have nice things. At the very least, Takako is in the middle of this attempt at a story of her getting the better of Ozaki-gun. She carries around a taser with her to even the odds, and the crowd is definitely into her. So there is some admittance here that, you know, I may not like this, but if the crowd's into it, and that's who's paying the tickets, and that's what we're gauging here, I have to take a step back and kind of evaluate this a little differently than my personal tastes. But keep that in mind for later. Keep that butt in mind for later. But I did get into this match even with the police interference because of the storyline that they're telling. The issue is, this is the second match in a row that we're doing this police interference, and it's because, like, it becomes a nuisance. Why does Ozaki, like, Ozaki cheating with the chain is fine in itself, but when you have the same dude kind of hanging around in multiple matches, that's an issue. Your repetitive booking in multiple matches gets to people. It exhausts people. So back to this match. Good near falls and back and forth, for sure. The babyface Takako getting geeked out of her taser is something that should not have happened, especially when she has it, she takes out police with it, zaps him, and then we just go right back to Oka kicking it out of her hands, and they have a match, and then the taser just kind of goes away. It's not the best psychology out there. It makes you think that the match should be, like, if you're doing old territorial booking like this, and you're telling stories of even in the odds with weapons, the weapons should lead to the finish. Absolutely. Oka and police get the heat. Takako fights back. She's sick of their shit. Takes out police with the taser, throws it down, and hits Oka with the big knee drop to the head and pins her 1-2-3. In a way, that's exactly what happened, but it didn't play out quite like it should have. So it's really at a crossroads of 50-50. Do you like this? Do you not? What they should have done, what they couldn't. And she does win off that jumping knee to the head off the top. And when she is doing the pin, she gives the middle finger to Ozaki-gun hanging out on the outside for good measure. Look, 1 out of 3. It was a 1 out of 3 type match. I do recommend it. It's short. It's to the point, and it's good for the story they're telling. So I enjoyed this mostly. Now, this next match is where I went full grump. Just all grumpy, not having fun anymore. It is Ozaki-gun, Chikayo Nagashima, and Ran Yuyu has now joined this group. They're taking on Akino and the current JWP Openweight Champion, Tsubasa Kurigaki. This went almost 20 minutes. And put your stopwatches out, boys, because this got 90 seconds of hoss action between Kurigaki and Akino shoulder blocking and Nagashima and Yuyu trying to run around him. Well, you got 90 seconds of that cool stuff before it became 6-on-2 Ozaki-gun bullshittery yet again for the third match in a row. Why exactly Chikayo and Ran Yuyu and Hiroyo are in this thing now? Who the hell knows? It's just what it's the story they want to tell, and I think it's pretty garbage. But you got to get that heat, brother. And the whole crew interferes in this entire affair. It is exhaustingly terrible. Eventually, and thank God, Kurigaki fights off the invaders of the match. Michinoku drives Chikayo through the mat for the pin. And here's the other thing. If you watch these matches in a vacuum, there's a lot of good spots, good action, and ultimately you're satisfied in that vacuum. Ultimately. Like, if I was, maybe even if I'm picking between the three matches, this might be okay, but a 6-on-2 for that amount of heat is pretty unacceptable and pretty ridiculous. Especially so often when not in this case, Ozaki's not having the paid-off heel ref here. Not yet. That will happen. But this one just kind of goes, eh. It's almost like the Dragon Gate ref where they're the dumbest people on the face of the earth and you just kind of have to accept it, unfortunately. But anyways, ultimately, it's the same nonsense interference. It's exhausting. And this is a great example of what holds Oz Academy back all these years. This booking right here, because they're trying to book something here, and it's real bad and real tiring when you do this shit three times in a row. And the main event, Oz Academy Tag Team Title Match. Here we go. Carlos Amano and Manami Toyota defending against Sanako Kato and Aja Kong. All right, this was the one I wanted to see. 19 minutes this went. So you got a good amount of time here for good, good action. And I hate to do this, but there's a good reason for this. I'm only going 1 out of 3 recommendation on this. In a vacuum. Here we go. I'm using that word again. If you only watch this match on this show, I could see you even going full 3. I could see someone going, you know what? That was fucking awesome. Great main event. That's the only match I watch on the show. 4 stars. Maybe even 4.25. However, I am not dealing with a vacuum here on the Joshi 2010s. I am watching AJW in the 90s. I've gone through the 80s. I'm seeing their rise there. I've seen scattered matches through the late 90s and the 2000s. And now I'm in year 2 of the Joshi 2010s. Okay? I am not dealing with a vacuum here. The crowd and myself were exhausted by this point after all that heat throughout the show. Luckily, thank God, this was a true main event, and there was no Ozaki-gun. First off, this was your AJW-JWP tag-style match. Go, 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 with lots of energy and a fuck-ton, shit-ton of near-falls. Big finisher-type moves and kickouts. Hell, even Toyota hit the JOC on Aja Kong in this. They weren't messing around. The problems are now twofold, okay? One, obviously, this is no fresh matchup in any capacity, okay? Toyota and Kong have been going at this for 20 years at this point, okay? And number two, Amano and Kato have been going at it for at least 15 years to their point, okay? So the total, in totality, these wrestlers on this card in general, it's incredibly stale of the same talent for a minimum of 15 years for many of these wrestlers. Yes, it's undoubtedly good action, but when you watch these shows and it becomes very, very stale, you lose interest and you lose your excitement for matches like these. You almost have to purposely put yourself in a different era and different mindset to enjoy these to their skill level that they're actually putting on in the ring. That's the other major problem with Oz Academy at this time in 2012. The finish saw yet again, much like the semi-main, unfortunately, Amano accidentally hits Toyota with her patented headbutt. Kato hits the only big move she knows and she has for about the sixth time in the match. I think it's called the kamikaze drop. I think that's it's her air raid crash driver that she does. It's look, guys, it's all she's got. She's got a leg drop from the top. She does some rope running, and then she hits the kamikaze drop. That's it. But you know what? Another point. These wrestlers haven't innovated any of their moves of their arsenal in God knows how long. Okay? The biggest pop of the match was actually Manami Toyota busting out the Queen Bee Bomb, which is her little scoop slam driver deal. Just brains Kato to death. So that was cool. Kong broke that up along with 100 other near falls. There was a lot in it. The repetitive finishes, the repetitive interference, the repetitive booking, the repetitive matchmaking. This is something to be concerned about with Oz Academy. And we're going to pay attention to these cards going forward, who's on them and who's kind of cycled in and out. Now, it will be interesting when we start getting some of those retirements. Okay? We know Ran Yuyu and Toshiyamatsu are on retirement road. Toshiyamatsu's 2 months away. Ran Yuyu's at the end of the year. What are they going to do for these people to end, and who's going to take their spots on the card? Because there's only a finite amount of spots for Ozaki and friends, right? Does she cycle people in and out of her various cards? Does she keep a core group? You can ask that question about a lot of the other promotions too, whether it's Ice Ribbon or JWP and the like. But hey, post-match here, there's a long powwow section of mic work, an announcement of a tag tournament with a slew of random teams that isn't worth going over in all honesty. It's short and will take place on February 11th, and the finals will be on the 26th of February. Look, there's only four teams in it. Hey, they get two produce shows out of this little tournament here, and it's at least something with stakes, okay? No Ozaki-gun in it is really the only news you need to pay attention to. So just, like, pick names out of hat, and there's your team's situation. And that's Oz Academy. It's very stale, it's getting rough, and the interference is exhausting. That is the big takeaway from this show. And before I leave, I definitely should, as I do, no update on kind of the 2012 Wrestler of the Year yet. Not really having covered a whole lot. We kind of want to go through at least 3 months of 2012 before kind of reviewing that and seeing where people stand in the little cute little match guide that I have there. But yeah, between JWP and this show, I can't really recommend the two shows at all. But the next show will be back to JWP Tag League, which took place from March through April. And we'll be doing day five in the finals for that particular show. Looking forward to that one. I always like a good tournament finish and seeing where JWP will end with that thing. That'll do it for this episode. Everyone, don't forget to subscribe, share the All Japan Women Destiny podcast feed where these shows go up for free 2 weeks later. And if you're interested in getting Google Drive access and helping out fund this podcast and getting a lot of these DVDs, sometimes they take months to get because they're directly shipped from over there. Made it real tough in COVID, but make digital copies. I make it easier for everyone to do the Google Drive in 2010 and some in 2011. I posted quite a few of the main events that we covered on this podcast on the Daily Motion page to get people an idea of what to look for. And really, the Google Drive functions as a nice little historical drive and easy access for the people that support the easier access for the people that support the podcast. I think you can find a lot of these shows in various clip forms on sketchy websites, but this just makes it easier for everyone involved. But again, join the Patreon and you'll get easier access for a lot of those things. Hit me up on Twitter @BullyingJD. I'll see you next time.